these particular minerals are critical for something that is very important, that is the energy transition. The fact that we need to mine them in a very high, large scale, very fast, it just makes all challenges of mining come to the forefront.
Hello, this is the Weekly Tradecast, a podcast brought to you by UNCTAD, the UN's trade and development body. I'm Sarah Toms. We're exploring how major events are shaping trade and development and how that affects billions of people around the world. This week, we're talking about the critical minerals and metals used in mobile phones, laptops, and electric car batteries, and how to make them cleaner and greener. Rising global temperatures have given fresh urgency to the green transition. Electric vehicles are seen as clean because they don't belch out exhaust fumes that fuel climate change. But some of the materials that go into them, especially the minerals and rare elements in their batteries, have large carbon footprints. The environmental impact of extracting materials like cobalt, copper, lithium, and graphite is a major concern. In countries where much of the mining is done, there can be issues over human rights and the benefits to communities. With demand high and supplies limited, these materials also drive concerns about market domination by just a few producers. To find out more about rare metals and how to make electric cars greener, I'm joined now by Clovis Freire, Chief of the Commodity Research and Analysis Section, a computer engineer and economist. He also likes to spend his time doing endurance running and marathons. Well, welcome back, Clovis.
Thank you, Sarah.
Good to have you today. Now, tell me a little bit more about the challenges materials like cobalt, copper, lithium, and graphite create.
Yeah, that's an important question. You see, the short answer is that we need more of them and production takes time. Mm. From the bread that we eat to the car that we drive, we need agriculture and minerals and metals. So agriculture, mainly we use to feed us, and minerals and metals, mainly to build the world that we have around us. So these are the two pillars of human progress. Why these particular minerals are important today? Because they are critical for something that is very important, that is the energy transition. The fact that we need to mine them in a very high, large scale, very fast, it just makes all challenges of mining come to the forefront. Mining, if not done in a sustainable way, it can harm the environment, pollute the water, pollute the air. You also have the social issues related to that. You have human rights issues. In many of the places that you have these minings, you have the conditions there that may be very harmful for human rights. You have to be careful of that. Also, labor rights issues. The risks of displacing local communities, that happens in many places. Corruption. So all issues related to social and governance. In the case of these minerals, because of the very importance of them for everything related to clean technologies, we have geopolitical tensions. Countries want to have access to these minerals, and they are produced and exported by fewer countries. To give an idea, by 2050, we may need 500% more of those minerals by that time. And production takes time. To have a mining in operation may take a decade from starting the project to having in operation. It's difficult for the supply to really catch up with the demand. But let me tell you, there is a hidden story here that many people don't know, and that in UNCTAD we are trying to bring to light and really to the forefront, is that these critical minerals, there is a risk that countries that are endowed with these minerals become dependent on these minerals. So we have the risk of a new commodity dependence, meaning that over 60% of the exports are related to commodities, and many of them depend on minerals. But there is a silver line here, if these countries are able to add value to these materials.
One question though, Clovis. As you said, we mine and we farm a lot. What is it about these particular minerals that do raise so many concerns? Is it because we just need so much of them, or is it because of the countries where they're found?
Yeah, that is a critical question. It's a very good one. Many of these minerals, they are extracted as a byproduct of other minerals. What makes these minerals in particular important is because they are important for the energy transition. And we need to do that transition very fast and in a very large scale. When we produce things, we tend to do it in a very effective way, optimize things. So we tend to produce them where it's cheaper. And over time, we tend to concentrate things. And that happens in other production of other minerals as well. The minerals that are critical for energy transition are many minerals. We have 20 to 40 minerals that I can list to you that are important to them. Some of them are very widespread and easy to find. So there is not a big issue on that. And you find them in developed countries and developing countries. Other minerals, they are concentrated because historically they didn't have much value. Mm. So you don't see the production of them in Europe or in the US. And they are not producing some of these places because it's cheaper to do in other places. Mm. Usually, this mining is done in isolated areas. And when you want to expand production very fast at a large scale, people start to cut corners. Mm. So then you have companies that are putting more emphasis on the economic side than on the environment and social sides. We need government with capability to regulate and to enforce those regulations. And it's not easy. These value chains are very long. So from the time that we extract the mineral to the time that you buy the cell phone, you go through many countries, many processes. So it's very far from the eyes of the consumer. And consumers are not aware. Public opinion is not there. The politics related to it are not focused on that, including the media may not put in enough focus and shedding light to the problems.
Should people be still buying electric cars then if they aren't truly green? Is there a way to clean up the production process of these batteries?
As we move along on the production of that, we have new technologies, we become more efficient in the way that we produce, and also more environmentally efficient on the way that we produce. Today, the electric vehicle, when you think about the whole life cycle, is cleaner than the normal vehicle of internal combustion. Of course, when you produce something, you always have some impact. So from the extraction of the mineral to the production of the battery to shipping the car to the final consumer, you have an impact, and including the energy that you use on the electric vehicle. That energy comes from the grid. If the country burns fossil fuels, you know, coal and oil to produce electricity, at the end of the day, you are charging your electric vehicle with electricity that comes from coal or oil. Mm. So the more we move towards cleaner source of energy, cleaner will be the electric vehicle sector. And we should be very realistic. A quarter of CO2 emissions comes from the transport sector. Mm. So we do need to do something there. Is only electric vehicles? No, of course not. In densely populated areas, cities, public transport, we need to improve that mobility, have more opportunities for people to use their bicycles to go to work. So in a way, do we still need electric vehicles? Yeah, they are part of the solution. And as fast we move to that solution in a more efficient way, the better.
So what is the solution then? Given that demand outweighs limited supply, are there alternatives or even more economical ways of using them?
We use these materials in particular because with the technology that we have today, they are the best ones to produce those things. There are limitations. Some minerals and metals are better suited to be used than others. But as we are moving along this technological path, there are changes in technology. And the scarcity of some materials, they create incentives for people to innovate, to find ways to not use those materials. There are many ways that people are trying to find chemistries for batteries that don't use cobalt. That is very expensive, but takes time.
What are the dangers to economies and consumers of the production of these materials being too concentrated in too few places?
It creates several problems related to the availability of these minerals. If you have any problems in those countries, a natural disaster or any other problem or crisis, it may affect the whole value chain. Another problem is that this may impact the price of the product. The price of the product become very volatile, very dependent on what happens in these choke points of the value chain. But let's be clear, there are concentration in many parts of the value chain. Also, there are concentration on the production of the battery materials, battery packs, electric vehicles. We have to have more countries producing those minerals and metals, the battery materials, the battery packs, and so on. That will bring resilience to this network of production. But efficiency and resilience, sometimes they don't go in the same direction.
If electric vehicles are indeed the future, what are the opportunities for developing countries?
Critical minerals can be a golden ticket for the developing countries to move from exporters of raw materials to innovators now. So that's an opportunity to change their economic histories. In a way, moving from exporting only these very raw materials to be able to export more value-added products. So we know that electric vehicles, we need to have more of them, the demand will increase. So these countries can now move to producing these raw materials, processing and doing the beneficiation of these materials. When they do that, they open up opportunities for diversifying their economies within the value chain. Chemistry, infrastructure, logistics, so many areas that they can use that value addition to build up new services and products in the economy that create jobs, another opportunity for them.
So where is the right balance to ensure that these minerals truly are a better alternative, and who needs to take the lead?
We need to have a very good alignment and framework where people, the producer countries, the countries that use those resources to produce the technologies, and the consumers at the end of the line, they all understand and participate and knows that we need to have a shared benefit from this value chain. We don't want to have a situation where we move towards a cleaner energy and we make progress in the environmental side, but we create many problems in the social and economic side for some of these countries as well. So in a way, what is required is that we should have some principles that guide that process. And the UN Secretary General, last year during the COP, he established and they created a panel on critical energy transition minerals exactly to think about those principles that would be required for that, to come up with guiding principles to help the industry, government to move towards harnessing these critical minerals for energy transition in a sustainable way, sharing the benefits in a just and fair way to do that.
Thank you so much. That was UNCTAD's Clovis Freire, who was this week's guest. Tune in to the Weekly Tradecast next week and every week for more insights on the most pressing issues around the world of trade and development. And there's even more on our website, unctad.org. I'm Sarah Toms in Geneva. Goodbye for now.